The reading is written in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12, beginning at verse 25, and can be found on page 352 in the church Bibles. 1 Kings, chapter 12, beginning at verse 25. Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and built up Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, "The kingdom is now likely to revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam." After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. One he set up in Bethel, and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people went even as far as Dan to worship the one there. Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. He instituted a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the festival held in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he had made. And at Bethel, he also installed priests at the high places he had made. On the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built at Bethel. So he instituted the festival for the Israelites and went up to the altar to make offerings." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we remain sitting, let us pray. First question for all of you. Who here likes DIY? Do you not put your hand up if you like DIY? Yeah, go on, Stuart, put your hand a bit higher. And Stephen. Yeah, a few over there. Right, well, there are no rugby references today, despite the victory yesterday. We're going to focus on DIY illustrations. And the reason for that is because today we are going to find out about some instructions so that you too can build your new flat pack, build your own religion kit. No Allen key required. How do you go about building your own DIY religion? Because that's what goes on in our reading, and we're going to learn something for ourselves today about the dangers we face when it comes to DIY religion. Well, step one in building your the first picture would be, I want something that will make me feel better and, crucially, safer. The search for security is a massive driver in the human spirit. It is the primary thing responsible for war. The search for security leads to a country invading another country. But also, it is the primary motivation for DIY religion. And we see it in our reading right at the beginning. We meet a king who is feeling a bit insecure. What has happened is, and this is where we get to all the fabulous names, there have been one nation of God's people, Israel, under King David and King Solomon. But when King Solomon's son takes the throne, a man called Rehoboam, the northern 5/6 of the kingdom split off. And they form a new nation under a sort of usurper, a new king, a king who has no royal dynasty. And that is a man called Jeroboam. And we're looking at Jeroboam today, and Jeroboam is frightened. You thought he wouldn't be. He's got 5/6 of the kingdom. He's a successful commander. The people love him, but he's frightened. We get that initially. He does something very sensible. He fortifies some cities in verse 25. But then in verse 26, that's not enough. And Jeroboam thinks to himself this: the kingdom is now likely to revert to the house of David. That means to Rehoboam's kingdom in the south. Because Rehoboam was the grandson of David, and Jeroboam wasn't. He just was an official of Solomon's. And he says, if these people go up to offer, actually it's south, go south to offer sacrifices in Jerusalem, the heart of his enemy Rehoboam's territory, if they go up to offer sacrifices at that temple, well, they're going to give up on me and they'll return to Rehoboam. They will kill me and return to him. So Jeroboam is afraid of what will happen. He's frightened for his security. So what's he do? Well, he decides to do a bit of DIY religion. He'd inherited the Jewish faith. He'd inherited what God had revealed him about himself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, going back even further, Noah. He had inherited the traditional and God-given way of worshipping God. But that feels risky. But he's worried about all these people going to the other kingdom. There must be a way that things can be adapted. What Jeroboam wants is a belief system that is enough to provide him with a sense of security and backing, but not so much that it will challenge him and his kingship and his security. So that's step one. Think about what makes me feel safe and secure. Step two in DIY religion, you ask the question, okay, what's popular? This is what Rehoboam does. Look at verse 28. He seeks advice. He wants to say, okay, what do you think might work here? Let's have a bit of a council meeting as we try to make our own religion. So he gets a bit of consensus, but then he makes it clear what his real motivation is. He carries on. He says this to the people. Having set up two golden calves, he says, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. In other words, he doesn't just get advice. He then thinks, what will be popular? What will make it easier for people to be religious, to worship? And he thinks of something that will sell well. He says, you don't want to go all the way down to Jerusalem. Look, it's much handier if you just come to these golden calves. It'll be much easier, much less expensive, much less trouble. So step two is what's popular. Step three is what feels right. And we see this in verse 33. It says this, for the Jeroboam thinks, well, we need to have a big feast. We need to have a big festival. And then in verse 33, it says, on the 15th day of the eighth month, a month of his own choosing. In the original language has the sense, what felt right to his heart. Don't you love that? You just thought, oh, I just feel like that would be a good time to have a celebration. It just feels right. So we've got these three things in DIY religion. If you want to make your own religion, you'll start with what makes you feel safe. Secondly, what's popular. And thirdly, what feels right. And to be honest, this sort of religion sounds incredibly attractive. I've just been reading a book someone gave me by a journalist looking at Jesus, and that's what this bloke's doing. He's looking for a religion that will meet his needs, that will be popular with him, that will give him a bit of security but not actually tell him how he should live. It's very interesting. And it's obvious that that's what you would do, isn't it? It's very attractive. It's comfortable, first of all. I will never, with DIY religion, I will never have to believe anything which makes me feel awkward or uncomfortable. I'll never be challenged by any truth that I don't like. I'll just change it. It's incredibly convenient. DIY religion is wonderful. It will never make any really taxing demands on me. The most it will do is I'll go away for a nice quiet time contemplating the countryside and I'll feel spiritual. Because obviously that's a wonderful way of doing religion, isn't it? I'd like to do that anyway. If I did DIY religion, I said there's going to be no rugby references, I lied. It would involve something to do with going to watch England play rugby. That would be part of my DIY religion because it would be comfortable, it would be convenient, I'd like it. And also it's going to be popular. I'll never risk anyone being offended by what I believe. Because if they look like they're getting offended, or if their views change, I'll just change my religion again. I'll just adapt my DIY religion to fit in with that. It's just obvious, isn't it? It's incredibly attractive. What could possibly be wrong with it? Well, we see from our passage that I think there are three obvious things wrong with Jeroboam's DIY religion and our DIY religion. The first is quite a simple one. It's nonsense. It's just nonsense. It's just a make-believe comfort blanket. It's not real. It's just made up. Just because we want something to be true doesn't make it so. Let me give you an example. When I went to the doctor one time and he told me I was grossly obese, once I controlled myself, he then said I need to go on a diet. And he suggested some diets to me. Now, I could have said, do you know what? I don't choose to believe that your diet works. I want to devise my own diet to see me through. And I would have come up with the David King patented fruitcake and marzipan diet, which I'm sure would have worked, just because I believed it would. I wanted it. I made it up. It was just something which makes me feel better. And to be honest, for your own interest, fruitcake and marzipan do make me feel better. But of course, it's a nonsense. It's just make-believe. If there is a God, he's going to be so far beyond our understanding that the thought that we could meaningfully work him out is just ridiculous. It's just not just nonsense. It also just isn't going to work, is it? It's just make-believe. Either it will break down when we do, or we will just fall into some sort of imaginary escapism where we don't face up to the realities of life. So the first problem is it's nonsense, but the second is it's foolish. I've got builders and DIY on my mind a lot, or more to the point, they're on my mother's mind, and so they're on my mind as well. And just imagine for the moment a builder commissioned by a client to build them a house. And the house owner, or future house owner, spends time drawing up the plans and gives clear instructions of what they want and how they want built. And the builder takes on the job. And the person who's going to own this house says, right, great, I'll leave it in your hands. I'm going to go off on holiday now. I've got to go and stay in a hotel somewhere because we can't live. We've got nowhere to stay. So they go off. And the builder looks at the plan. He thinks, well, do you know what? I'm not completely convinced by this plan. That whole scaffolding business looks incredibly risky and it's expensive. I think I know a way of getting around that. And also that, those garage doors, which he wanted for his Panther, they're so last millennium. I think we need something a bit more attractive. Garage doors are so blank. We need something a bit more beautiful. Well, of course, when the owner comes back, he's going to be appalled, isn't he? He's going to be appalled when he discovers that his visions of a lovely two-floor house turn out now to be a bungalow simply because the builder didn't want to put scaffolding up and his garden has disappeared because he's had to take up the whole plot. And when he comes to drive his Panther into the garage, he can't get in because there's not a garage door but French windows. The builder is a fool. He's a fool because he's forgotten who he's building the house for. And he's a fool because it's going to cost him. He's going to lose all the money he spent on those materials. And he's going to be sued by the person who commissioned the work. Well, in our passage, it's clear that Jeroboam is like that builder when he does his DIY religion. You see, sometimes we think that worship is something we imagine up to try and please God. We imagine that we're like an artist who paints a nice picture, how we feel, so we express ourselves or find some sort of fulfillment. But that's not worship, what worship is like. Worship is more like being a decorator. We're given instructions on how we should worship God. And Jeroboam, in doing these things, our passage makes clear, is repeatedly ignoring what God had told him to do. We see it most clearly in two places, or one place in particular. It says this, Jeroboam built shrines on high places, this is verse 31, and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. And yet God has said that only the Levites could be priests. In fact, if we go in deeper, we discover Jeroboam starts sacrificing when only a priest should, not a king. We discover he sets up these two golden calves when God has said, you will not worship an image because he is invisible, God. He had chosen two places which were not Jerusalem, which God had given the instruction for, and he'd chosen a date which God had not given. God had given another date. You see, sooner or later, with however good our intentions, DIY religion will end up being disobedient to God. And eventually, our worship will really be about us and not God. It's obvious, isn't it? If God is God, then our worship will not be about what meets our needs, but what glorifies him. So I think it's nonsense and it's foolish what Jeroboam does here. But it's also tragic. See, part of the tragedy is that Israel never recovers from this. The northern kingdom, Jeroboam's kingdom, never recovers from what he does. They're pulled right away from God. And we read throughout the rest of the story of the kings, they say, but they did not reject what Rehoboam had done before them, and they kept the high places. They kept these golden calves. This will be an infection which carries on until the northern kingdom's destruction. But that's not surprising, because actually, Jeroboam in his DIY religion is simply rehashing an old religion. In verse 28, it says this, he makes these golden calves, and he says, here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Now, if we know our Bibles really well, that will sound familiar. Because it was done hundreds of years previously when Israel was first rescued from Egypt. And they're at Sinai, and Aaron, the high priest, makes a golden calf and says those exact words. This DIY religion is like a virulent virus. You think you've got rid of it. You think you've stamped it out. But then it comes back. If you've got chickens, it's like red mite. You can try your best and you think you've wiped it out, but it will always come back. That's obviously quite a specific reference there. But try to enter into it. But there is a deeper tragedy in this. That all of this is so unnecessary. Do you remember I said the starting point for DIY religion? The starting point for DIY religion for Jeroboam was that he was afraid. Do you remember that right at the beginning? He was afraid of people returning to Rehoboam. But here's the stupid thing, the really tragic thing. Jeroboam did not need to be afraid because God had made him the most amazing promise. We see this in the previous chapter, in chapter 11. When Jeroboam was just an official under Solomon, there was no idea that the kingdom would split or anything else. But this is what God says to him. He says, However, as for you, I will take you and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You will be king over Israel. If you do what I command you and walk in my ways and do what is right in my eyes by keeping my statutes and commands as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David and will give Israel to you. I will humble David's descendants because of this, but not forever. And Jeroboam had already seen some of that fulfilled because he went from just being an official to being king. I always had these dreams of going to watch England play and then getting them tap on the shoulder and say, actually, Stuart Lancaster's a bit short of an overweight and too old second row. Will you come in and step in? That's kind of what happens to Jeroboam. It's amazing. But then he forgets that God is faithful. If God has made a promise for his security, he doesn't need to make his own religion to keep him secure. He just needs to keep on worshipping God. In other words, when we slip into DIY religion, it is a tragedy. It's a tragedy because it's so foolish. Why would we want a different God who is a powerless nothing when we already have the Almighty God? Why would we want a God who is speechless when we have the one who came to earth as a human being? Why would we want a God of our imagination when we already have one who blows our minds? And why would we want a God who constantly demands our offerings when we already have the one who offered his very self on the cross? Why would we do it? It's tragic. So what does DIY religion look like today? Well, there are two sorts of DIY projects. Well, actually, there's three. The first one is mine, which always fails. But the other two are the ones I'm really focusing on. There's the DIY project from scratch, when you build something from absolute scratch. And then there's the DIY project, which I tend to do more, which is I take something and try to adapt it. Always a mistake. Now, the first one is obvious. That's kind of the DIY religion, which is done from scratch. And we see that all around the world. How we constantly are looking to try and make a religion which meets our needs and gives us security. But the one I want to concentrate on particularly today is the adaptation one, where we take something and we adapt it. See, the warning of our passage is, I don't think that Jeroboam thought that he was rejecting his religious background. I don't think he thought he was rejecting the faith he had received down through the ages from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then through Moses. I think he just thought he was adapting it, or enhancing it, or making it more convenient, or even making it more popular. Certainly making it safer. And I think that sort of DIY religion is what we are in danger of. In danger in our beliefs. See, in those days, the worship of God was focused around a place of sacrifice, the temple. And that was a shadow of what it is today, which is still focused around a place of sacrifice, but it is now the cross. And that's just a reminder of the cross. What I mean is the cross 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died for us. And the danger for us is that we will try to adapt and get away from the cross. And as we do so, we move into dangerous territory. Well, why would we move away from the cross? Well, really, because the cross says something we don't like to hear. It says a word of judgment. But when we hear that word of judgment, and when we understand it, we then discover it says the most wonderful thing. That there is forgiveness of sin, and there is freedom from judgment. But some people get so caught up on the first bit, they decide, I'll just park the cross out of the way. We'll focus on something else. So we can do DIY religion adaptation in our beliefs, but also in our worship. It's very easy for worship to become what is convenient or popular. Now, incredibly, since Jesus came, our worship has become much more flexible than in the Old Testament, in the period before Jesus. But we shouldn't forget that our worship is never about us or our needs. It's never about what makes us feel better. But why would we make worship about our needs? It's such a foolish thing to do. Because that way we will always grow bored. Instead, worship is about the infinite God. And if we focus on him and not our needs, he will infinitely amaze us. So we avoid DIY religion in our belief and our worship, but also in our lives. It's very easy to end up with a worship where we fit it around our lives to make it more convenient for us. Do you know what I mean? We think, actually, well, we'll be part of church, for instance, when we're free, when we don't have other things. Because to be honest, it's just inconvenient. And actually, I could be a Christian on my own, and I'll go to church when I can. But this is tragic. God says meet together regularly to encourage one another. In our DIY religion, we say, I can make it on my own. The children need to go to clubs, I need to visit relatives. And then we're surprised and angry when troubles hit or when doubts creep in and our faith grows cold. God says, set aside a day a week to rest and give thanks for all that he gives. We say, I'm too busy for that. And then we have to struggle with the stress and exhaustion that comes from not reminding ourselves that actually everything comes from God. God says, study his word, because it is like honey to our lips and a light to our path. And we say it's not entertaining enough. And then we're confused when Downton Abbey or X Factor doesn't help us live our lives wisely. DIY religion is a crock, as they say. It appears attractive. It looks good. But when you put your cup of coffee on it, it collapses. And you're in a mess. And it's also tragic. Why? Why would we give up what is more glorious than we can ever imagine? Simply for the sake of convenience, or because of the wrong idea that it will make us safer? So the challenge of Jeroboam is, however frightened we get, however inconvenienced sometimes it feels like following Jesus, however much it doesn't seem to be immediately meeting our needs, it's the only way. It's the only way to find security. It's the only way to truly find ourselves fulfillment when we focus on the Lord Jesus and on his glory. Let's pray. Father God, we all battle with the fears of our security and the difficulties of a really pressured lifestyle. And yet, Lord, we thank you that you are our rock and our refuge. You are our certain fortress. You are our friend and our king. And you are the only one worthy of our worship and worthy of our trust for security. Lord, please may we hold on to that. Please may we not take what you've given us and then try to add to it or take away from it or make it our own. But may we just do what you've called us to. And Lord, there's so many people in our world who are lost because they're chasing after a DIY religion. Whatever it is, whether it's even no religion at all, in their desperate seek for security. Lord, we just pray that you will find them like you found us. And you will show them the only place their security really lies, which is in the Lord Jesus. Amen.